Good Wednesday, everybody. Welcome in. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Yes, I am back. Good to be back in the saddle after a couple of days of suit duty. I appreciate Junie Riddle for stepping in for me. A lot to get into as we got Lionel Messi coming to town. Big win for Nashville SC. Titans are in Minnesota practicing with the Vikings. All Elite Wrestling in town tonight. Tony Khan, who's one of the owners of the Jaguars and AEW, going to join us at 9:30. Really looking forward to that conversation. Only the big guests here on the Chase McCabe Show. And then our buddy Double J, Jeff Jarrett, Nashville's very own, will join us at 10:30. So, again, a lot to cover. Nick Frazier, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Chase. Good to see your face again here in the studio.
Yeah, it's good to be back. You know, management things that come with the territory, and they were fun. I mean, learned a lot. But I miss being around the people. I miss being with the people, talking to the people, and hanging out with you. So good
to be
back.
You came back on a great day.
I did. I came back with nothing to talk about, which is fantastic. So, no, I'm just kidding. There is, like I said, so much to get into, including a couple of housekeeping things, a little announcement that we're going to make. So a few years ago, I get a call from Justin Bradford, who Penalty Box Radio, and Penalty Box Radio had been on this station for about a decade almost. It was one of the first shows that I worked with when I started working here and producing. And so Justin called me and said, "Hey man, I'm hanging it up, not going to do it anymore." And I was like, you know, I'd just taken over as PD. People are going to blame me for this. What are you doing? And so obviously it left a void, and we hated to see it, but, Penalty Box Radio as an entity kind of hung around there. And, you know, it was like, okay, what's going to happen with it? Well, enter our two guests that are in the studio with us right now. Alex Doherty, Sean Smith here. You've known them from another place probably. But, guys, welcome in. You are officially Penalty Box Radio now.
That's right. Thanks, Chase, for having us. I'm Alex, and Sean's here.
I'm over here.
Yeah, you're over there. That is right. And that leads us to why you're here, because you've basically rebooted, is that the best way to put it, Penalty Box Radio.
Yeah, it's returning.
The company is returning, mm-hmm. And that means the radio show that Justin and them did on Wednesday nights is coming with that on 102.5 The Game, starting September 20th at 7 o'clock. Here on these airwaves.
That's right. Yeah. So just to give people a little bit of background, I have been in Nashville covering the Predators for nearly 10 years. Sean, how many years is it?
Seven.
Okay, 7 years. And a little while ago, Sean and I decided that we wanted to try to do our own thing. And we did some research and talked to my good buddy Justin Bradford, who I also play hockey with. Just played hockey with him last night, actually, and decided that we wanted to try to return Penalty Box Radio to the world of Nashville hockey, because it's been such a staple since, I think, 2012. And then naturally decided, you know, well, since it's, you know, Penalty Box Radio and not just a website, but a radio show, we decided, you know what? What if we tried to return it to the airways? And then we started those conversations. And that has led us to this moment where we're announcing that on Wednesdays, starting September 20th, we're going to be back at 7 p.m. Sean?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me, I look back on the Cup run of 2017, and I think Penalty Box Radio and Justin Bradford specifically were a very well-respected and a very informative voice in the Predators media world that a lot of those new fans were able to come to and really just get the information they needed. So looking ahead, the team is in a point where they're doing a lot of things differently if you look at the changes they've made over the offseason. And I think I want us to be that voice for people who are going through that change, who maybe came in 2017, or the fans who were there before that are along for the ride, and maybe to any new fans that are coming in based on the hope of a very exciting season with a lot of youth on the team.
Yeah, and I mean, you mentioned those changes. I mean, they're exciting, and obviously still a month away from training camp and – And I imagine we're going to see even more, you know, as the season goes on, as Barry Trotz puts his stamp on things as the general manager of the team, Andrew Brunette now is the new head coach, as, you know, like you said, it's there are changes. A lot of faces that people are used to are now gone. But it's exciting. And, you know, I've seen this organization go through a reset before. I don't feel like the hype has been there like it is with this one just because of the people involved. And so for you guys to kind of be at the ground floor of that, of this new era, celebrating the 25th year of the Predators, mm-hmm. Has to be exciting from your point of view.
Yeah, I think it's a really unique time to start something like what we're, well, return something like what we're returning to the airways. I don't think I anticipated this many changes going, you know, when we were deciding this, you know, John Hines was still the coach.
Right.
Like it was like, you know, we were just like, all right, well, we'll just, we'll see how it goes. And then all of a sudden they make all these changes. Barry Trotz is going to be the GM and now Andrew Brunette's the coach and all these, you know, roster changes and everything with Duchesne and Johansson out. But in terms of the show itself, I think, you know, you're always going to have stuff to talk about with this team. I think hockey has come so far that now people are ready to talk about hockey in detail that they haven't before. I mean, you know, maybe 5 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, definitely 20 years ago. It just wasn't the sport that everyone thought, okay, in November we can break down a regular season matchup, or in January, let's start looking ahead to playoff matchups. We can do that now, and right. That's the kind of thing that we're going to be doing, is talking about games in detail. We're going to have coaches and players on when we can. We're going to have interviews with other media entities out there across the league. We're going to talk about league topics, you know, not just Nashville Predators, but what's going on in the Central Division, what's going on in the Western Conference, Eastern Conference, and all that. So there's never a shortage of things to talk about, and I think that makes, you know, an hour-long show at 7 p.m. Something that people can look forward to.
So it's funny. You mentioned how the fan base has changed and all of that. I kind of look at the comparison now. You know, we're about to talk about Nashville SC hosting Lionel Messi, the best player in the sport.
I've heard of him.
Coming up this week. Yeah, everybody's heard of him. I do see some similarities as even though I think soccer fans and hockey fans are different, that there's – but that growth with SC that's still in their infancy to what you saw 20-something years ago with the Predators. But it's also different in that you have different social media. You have social media now. There are different ways to promote the team. But I know for me, I felt like, okay, I'm learning a new sport just like I did 20-something years ago with the Preds.
Yeah. I think soccer is definitely coming along. I mean, I was watching last night. Even though I was playing a hockey game, I left the ice and was like, what's the score? But I think the most exciting thing I think about this particular show is I feel like there's a lot of people out there who want to engross themselves in hockey more than they normally are, and they don't have they get a lot of hockey coverage on this station, of course, and like I think they always are wanting more. You know, you've got a lot of sports going on in Nashville now. I mean, there's so much going on in this space that you've got to give time for everyone, but hockey has like kind of a special place. You know, it's such a long season. The playoffs are incredible. All the storylines are great, and I'm looking forward to it. I know Sean is you're definitely not the guy. You're not the same hockey person you were before you started doing this, right?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
I think if I look back, you know, I grew up in California in a time before the San Jose Sharks.
Surfer dude.
Oh, wow.
Definitely, yeah. I was hitting the waves constantly. That was my thing. We ended up moving to Kentucky in a time when there was literally no internet. There was no way to get sports news aside from the television or the radio, which out where we lived, there was nothing. Mm-hmm. Moving to Nashville, finding hockey, falling in love with hockey, bringing my kids to games, my kids falling in love with hockey. Now I've got an 8-year-old hockey player, very passionate fan base in our house. Everybody gets excited about hockey. It's a topic of conversation 9 times out of 10 around the dinner table. So When you say, you know, the fan base has changed, I think it's gotten more passionate.
Yeah.
I think it's gotten a lot bigger. And I think there are always people out there who want to hear hockey talk all the time. And I think the more we can get out there, the better off we're going to be.
Well, we're excited about it. Again, September 20th, that is when everything we will drop the puck, as they say, on the new Penalty Box Radio with you guys. And it's kind of a different view of things going on with the Predators and the hockey world. Obviously, with us being the flagship, you're going to get a lot of that. But we always enjoyed some of the different things that they did, and then we know that you guys will do the same. So congratulations and welcome.
Thanks. Yeah. But by the way, we'd be remiss to mention you may also know us from a certain viral video.
Yeah. How is Kyle from Chicago?
Kyle from Chicago was a big moment, and if you have not seen the video, you got to check it out. But I'm sure a lot of people have seen it. But
yeah, how much has that changed things for you guys?
I mean, honestly, it was pretty crazy. It was wild for several weeks. Still feeling the impact. I still see retweets of it. You know, today even. Yeah, that was a wild moment. We can talk about that at some point. But I think it was probably one of the most the strangest, most hilarious moment in my life, because as soon as it happened, we realized what just happened, and we were like, okay, we're not going to get anything better than this. We need to get this out right now.
When was your bleep moment of realizing who he was?
Immediately after. So as soon as the camera cuts, he shakes my hand and says, by the way, I'm going to be making the number one overall pick. And I just kind of froze and was like, wait, what? And then he said, yeah, I'm Kyle Davidson, and I definitely said a lot of bad words at that point. I was like, I can't believe it. Because immediately what I was thinking is, you know, we had been interviewing a lot of people.
Yeah.
And we had been talking to a lot of Blackhawks fans. So this was like kind of a normal – it's just another guy.
He's in
guy.
Street clothes. Like, yeah. He's not in a suit. Like, he doesn't look like a GM at this
not
point.
At all.
We had just been talking to a lot of guys. So him listing off Blackhawks players, I mean, he was like the sixth guy that we had – that had done that. So nothing stood out until he said that. And then immediately my thought was, oh my gosh, did I ask him if he thought that NHL rigged the draft? That was my immediate thought. Like, I think I asked him that. Because I had asked some people question, not everyone that question. And I definitely asked him. And he gave a great response. I'm going to call it a performance. His performance in that whole video is just incredible. It's so much fun to watch. I rewatch it and I think, man, he is just like really ready for the camera. But I had no idea what was going on until afterwards. But yeah, it was wild. It was a pretty crazy moment.
Yeah, I mean, he handled it well. And I mean, he even said in the press conference, like when he was asked about it, that, you know, he kind of was like, should I do this? But yeah. He went with it, and yeah. I mean, I think it worked well for them too. So because I know people in Chicago that were talking about it.
And Sean, you were filming. What was going through your mind when you're holding the camera there?
I think I knew something was going on when he pronounced Andreas Athanasiou correctly, which I probably butchered it this time, but I've rarely, if ever, heard anyone say it right. And I thought to myself, well, as soon as this is over, I'm going to congratulate him on pronouncing that name correctly. Yeah. And then, of course, I find out why. It's because. Yeah. He's the general manager. Of course, yeah. He knows how to say his guy's name.
Well, you can. It's all over the internet. Yeah. You know, you can. If you haven't seen it, then I think you've been living under a rock. But mm-hmm. it's there. But again, September 20th, 7 o'clock here on 102.5 The Game. Penalty Box Radio returns with Alex and Sean. Guys, thanks for coming in today. Congratulations. We're looking forward to it and seeing where this all goes.
Yeah, really appreciate the time coming or the ability to come on here and make the announcement here. Really appreciate it. And to everyone at 102.5, we appreciate having a home to live in.
Yeah. And we'll be promoting it a lot. You'll be hearing and seeing that as, again, I can't believe hockey is like a month away, which gave me the sweats a little bit from the management, the suit standpoint of all the things that I have to do. But thanks for coming in, guys. Appreciate
it. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Penalty Box Radio. Looking forward to having that. The Titans are in Minnesota to practice with the Minnesota Vikings. We'll talk a little bit about that. Also, Tony Khan, AEW, the Jacksonville Jaguars at the bottom of the hour. It's Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, broadcasting live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. You can weigh in on anything that we're discussing today on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Again, Penalty Box Radio returning September 20th at 7 o'clock here on 102.5. 106.3 The Game. The Titans are in Minnesota to take on the Vikings in practice and then the preseason. I like these joint practices because I think that's really when you learn things about a team. you can, you know, you can have coaching ability where if you see something you don't like, you can pull a player aside, all those things. Here was Mike Vrabel before they left talking about joint practices with Minnesota.
You guys getting ready to head over to Minnesota for joint practices. How different is this week just preparing versus practice over there than going straight to that preseason game?
I mean, I think we've done it before, but I also appreciate the way that they were able to come out today and practice and transition inside. I thought that there was good energy. I thought there was good speed. We got a lot done, you know, so then we'll have to transition on to traveling tomorrow. I appreciate, you know, Joey, his staff, Todd, his staff, be able to, you know, get all that stuff packed up here, turned around short amount of time, and then get us everything that we need up in Minnesota.
That was Mike Vrabel on Monday before they left. Now, here's where I'll say that I really, really like this, because I think for the offensive line, this is big. Because you're going to continue to evaluate this offensive line in live reps against another defensive line. So I think that is really important as they continue to try and figure out what this offensive line is going to look like when they start the season against the New Orleans Saints. So I think that's big. I think this backup quarterback battle that is a very real thing right now, and we're going to talk about this later in the show. I haven't given my thoughts on the preseason game. I thought Malik Willis looked better than Will Levis. And then I hear Jared and other people kind of saying the opposite. You know, the interception that Malik Willis had, that was a high ball. You got to bring that down. So I put that on him. I also will say if the ball hits you in the hands, you got to make the catch. So I think Josh Wiley deserves a little bit of that blame. But I understand that was a bad pick. He's got to adjust on that and bring that down. But overall, I mean, I think the coaching staff felt that way too because they kept putting him back in. They were going to rotate series, which I don't like that. I had said that at first. I just said, I don't like that. Just, you know, do quarters. You know, let a guy get into a rhythm a little bit more. And so I'm wondering if they'll do that because I don't anticipate Ryan Tannehill playing this week because he's going to get the work he needs in the joint practices against that Minnesota defense. So that's kind of how I see that going. The other thing is with receivers in this battle with guys, you know, lower on the depth chart with receivers, I need somebody to reach up there, find the brass ring and grab it because nobody has really done that yet. Reggie Roberson's looked good. Colton Dowell looked okay. You know, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, I heard the morning show talking about it. Right now he's making the team just because he's Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and he's been on the team. He has done nothing in my mind to really stand out, though. And if one of those other guys does something to stand out, they will leap him and he won't make the team. And I think the coaching staff is waiting for somebody to do that. It's waiting for somebody to go and take the spot. Can that happen in these joint practices against Minnesota? So I'm kind of waiting for that. And then the kicker battle, you know, the kicker battle is going to continue. Not really happy with where that is at this point in time, but maybe we'll learn some more on that. But I mentioned the offensive line. Tim Kelly, offensive coordinator, he got his chance to talk to the media on Monday before everybody left because, they didn't have anything yesterday, and then they'll be there today. He kind of gave his thoughts on what he saw from the O-line against the Bears.
How about the offensive line, the first movement in that one series that they got? How did you like what they were able to?
Yeah, they kept Malik clean. They were able to push some piles. They were able to get some movement in the run game. And again, the more that those guys are going to be able to play and gel together, the better off we're going to be. So I thought they all individually did some good things and collectively as a unit. Did what we asked them to do. We wanted them to play physical. We wanted them to kind of set the tone and put our brand of football on tape. We wanted them to keep the quarterback clean, and I think they did all three things.
That was Tim Kelly on Monday on the offensive line. I agree with that. I want to see him, you know, play more. I mean, I think we kind of know this is the group and what they're going to go with. I don't see that changing with the, you know, these five that they're going to run with, but I still think they need to play a little bit more. I think having them go up against the Vikings defense with Tannehill, you know, behind them, protecting him, in these joint practices is going to be beneficial, because you're going to see that pressure. And I know that Mike Vrabel is going to, even though it's practice, you don't want them hitting the quarterback. You know, he wants to make this as real as possible so he can get a true evaluation of where that offensive line is at. And so I foresee that happening starting today with these joint practices. Because I think that's where you really know. The joint practices this week against Minnesota, next week against New England, that's where you're really going to be able to see who's going to stand out, because they're going up against a different opponent, and you can evaluate, you know, your starters by doing that and not having to put them in a game. I the guys that didn't play against the Bears, I would anticipate they're not going to play against the Vikings on Saturday either. But this is where you can get a lot of that evaluation this week against Minnesota. We'll talk more about that. Jared is there, so he'll be doing his show from Minnesota. Looking forward to that coverage. Coming up next, though, Tony Khan. Of course, Shad Khan is his father, but Tony helps run the Jags. He runs their EPL team and All Elite Wrestling, which is at Bridgestone Arena tonight for AEW Dynamite, and then Rampage. That will be at Bridgestone. Looking forward to that. I had the opportunity earlier in the week to talk to Tony. That conversation is next here on Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. AEW All Elite Wrestling coming to Nashville August 16th, that's Wednesday, Bridgestone Arena. Really looking forward to this show. And the guy on the line with us, I'm excited about this interview, Tony Khan. Of course, he is the owner. Titans fans, you know his dad, Shad Khan, owner of the Jags. So we might have to talk a little football too. But Tony, good to have you on with us. Thanks so much for doing this. And we're excited to be All Elite here in Nashville.
I'm very excited that Nashville is All Elite. And it's going to be great to have AEW Wednesday Night Dynamite this week right there in Nashville. I'm real excited about the show, and I can't believe this week is our debut at Bridgestone Arena. We've had a lot of great shows in Nashville. It's been great running the Municipal Auditorium, but it feels really special to do our first show ever at Bridgestone Arena, and it's for a great cause this week. It's going to be a great wrestling show, and we'll also be donating proceeds from this event directly to the Maui Food Bank, which could really use the donations at this time. Even if you can't make it to the show, I think it would be great for people to try to donate to the Maui Food Bank with what's happening there right now and the terrible situation with the fires in Maui.
That's a really awesome cause that you all are doing. So you're, like you said, the debut at Bridgestone Arena. I was at the very first show at Municipal Auditorium several years ago, and to watch your product grow in the way it has, and you got, you know, some guys that have been with you since the very beginning. Chris Jericho is certainly one that comes to mind. But what has it been like from your seat to go from one show a week to three shows a week, and to just see the company grow in the way that it has?
It's incredible how much this company has grown over the years, and I can't believe how far we've come. We're on the verge of the biggest wrestling show in the history of Europe, and on a very short list of one of the biggest wrestling shows in the history of the world. And it's coming up later this month, August 27th at Wembley Stadium, AEW All In. And as we approach that, it's definitely not only the biggest milestone in AEW's history, but I would say it's the biggest milestone recently anybody said in pro wrestling. And this show will stand alongside only a few of the very highest grossing WrestleMania events all time as the highest grossing show in the history of the world. And it's only a few weeks away, so everything we do at this point is massively important. Every step we take will be felt all over the world, and everything that happens this week on Wednesday Night Dynamite in Nashville, people all over the world in over 150 countries are going to be following it very closely, because everybody cannot wait to see what's going to happen at AEW All In. So not only are we doing the show this Wednesday night at Bridgestone Arena for a great cause, it's going to be seen in over 150 countries all over the world live. And it's going to be broadcast all over America live on TBS. It's for a great cause again. to support the Maui Food Bank. And we are on the verge of the biggest show in AEW's history. And the card we have for Wednesday Night Dynamite in Nashville is so strong in and of itself that this is going to be a great wrestling show on its own, notwithstanding all those other factors I just mentioned. I'm so excited about this event.
Tony Khan is with us, All Elite Wrestling, as you mentioned, at Bridgestone Arena Wednesday with Dynamite and Rampage as well. When you mentioned the event at Wembley Stadium, I mean, you're a wrestling fan. That's what I love about you and this company is you're a fan too. And you recognize the history of pro wrestling in the United Kingdom. I know that it's obviously a competition and you want your company to be on top, but to now do an event there and be a part of pro wrestling history, how special is that for you?
It means a lot to me. It really means a lot to me. I've actually spent a lot of my life living in London. I'm the general manager and sporting director of Fulham Football Club in London, which is one of the oldest soccer clubs in England. It's been around since 1879. It is an amazing football club, and I love working at Fulham, and it's been a really formative part of my life, was moving to London and trying to turn that club around, and I really think we have. We had a great season in the Premier League last year, and I know not as many people in America follow the sport every week, but we've had an amazing turnaround, and a lot of people worked really hard to get Fulham to where we're at now, and it's pretty cool. And I have a great appreciation for wrestling history all over the world. England in particular has a great history of pro wrestling, and it's very interesting. And right when we launched AEW, I made sure to get us hooked up with the best TV partner in the UK, and that's ITV. And they're a free-to-air channel, like one of the big channels we have here, and anybody can watch it, whether you have a great cable setup or a smart TV or even just some rabbit ears. Everybody's able to watch ITV. It's one of those kind of channels. And our show is on several times a week, and now we have three shows with AEW Wednesday Night Dynamite, AEW Friday Night Rampage, and the brand new AEW Saturday Night Collision. So it's amazing how much coverage we get now in England. We've become a very mainstream show thanks to ITV and the great support of the wrestling fans in England. But one thing we've never done is a show live in the UK. So this show at Wembley Stadium is our debut, and it's going so incredibly well. The ticket sales are at a historic pace. So it's going to be one of the biggest events in the history of wrestling, and we're only a couple weeks away. That applies to all the great people in Nashville this Wednesday night, because this show is in a very important position. A lot of important things on the road to that huge pay-per-view event are going to happen at this show. And given that it's Fight for the Fallen, you know this is going to be a great show in and of itself. So I'm very excited about what's happening this Wednesday and just in AEW in general, since you asked me about the growth. We've grown so much, and it's really, really awesome.
Tony Khan is with us. When you were here for the first time, when AEW was here for the first time several years ago, Jim Ross was nice enough to come to our studios, and I've done some work with Jim over the years, and we were sitting and we were talking, and I said, Jim, what is the biggest difference now with where you used to be and where you are? And he looked at me and he said, I work for a wrestling company again. And that got me fired up as a pro wrestling fan. Jim has bought in. Chris Jericho has bought in. Jeff Jarrett, Jeff Hardy that are on the card for Dynamite. When you have these established wrestlers that, you know, they didn't want to do this anymore, they don't have to, that have bought into you and bought into this company, and also with the fans that have bought in, how awesome does that make you feel to see these established guys that they're riding this train with you?
It's the greatest feeling in the world to have so many of the great stars in pro wrestling, some of the great stars in pro wrestling today, and some of the great stars all time in the history of pro wrestling, some of the best ever, are in AEW right now. And you mentioned some of those great names. This week on Wednesday Night Dynamite, you can come right there to Bridgestone Arena and see Jeff Hardy versus Jeff Jarrett in a Texas Chainsaw Massacre death match that is officially sponsored by the Texas Chainsaw Massacre video game. very cool sponsorship deal and should just be an absolutely wild and crazy match this Wednesday night. But I also think when you talk about some of the biggest names in pro wrestling, for me, it starts and ends with Sting. He's one of the all-time legends. He's one of my all-time favorites. Sting is still a huge part of AEW. And one of the greatest things we accomplished was bringing Sting out of retirement. He is still wrestling to this day. He is undefeated in AEW, in fact, and he's on the greatest run of his career right now here in AEW.
You mentioned the Texas Chainsaw Massacre death match. That's innovative. That's different. And that's something that you have prided yourself in with AEW to do innovative and different things. So what is the balance of adding those new concepts that we've never seen before in pro wrestling while also being true to, like we were talking about earlier, the history of pro wrestling?
Well, it's really fun when you have these kinds of opportunities because that's a great sponsorship with a great company. They've got a great product with the Texas Chainsaw Massacre video game coming out. And we love when we can do activations that result in fun wrestling. And it's one of those things I think will be really fun for everybody. It's great for the sponsor, Texas Chainsaw Massacre video game, to get their title involved. And it also is a title that's very conducive. You know, it's not like much less violent video game concept. You know, it's not like everybody's picking daisies or, gardening here. It's a chainsaw massacre fight, and I think that's very conducive to AEW pro wrestling and Wednesday Night Dynamite on TBS. So that'll be a lot of fun. And in addition to that Texas Chainsaw Massacre death match, there's a lot of really fun classic wrestling matches up and down this show on Wednesday night.
Yeah, and we were talking earlier about the established stars that came to AEW. You've also built some stars. Orange Cassidy, he's on the card Wednesday night, defending the AEW International Championship. And a guy that, look, I know that you've had your differences with at times, but MJF, how important have establishing those guys and building new wrestlers for fans to enjoy, how important has that been to you?
It's been amazing to have great champions in this company, homegrown champions of AEW, like MJF, the AEW World Champion, who we will hear from live this Wednesday night in Nashville, along with his tag team partner, Adam Cole, as they prepare for their one-on-one match against each other for the World Championship at Wembley Stadium later this month on August 27th. Very excited to see those two getting together, talking about that big title fight. Anytime MJF and Adam Cole are together in the same place, you can expect something very entertaining and very exciting. And you mentioned Orange Cassidy, the AEW International Champion. I think he's had one of the greatest championship runs in the history of AEW. It's one of my favorite championship runs I can remember, and he is on fire. But every time he goes out to the ring, it takes a little bit out of him. He's been getting beat up, and he's had, I believe, 28 defenses of the championship now, and each one of them is taking something out of him. So every time he goes out to the ring, he's giving it everything he's got, but he is dealing with a mountain of injuries. And I have to say that Wheeler Yuta is probably the most dangerous opponent he's faced. They know each other very well. Wheeler Yuta is Orange Cassidy's protege. And honestly, Orange Cassidy is the person who brought Wheeler Yuta into AEW in the first place. He's the person who brought him to my attention. He is his former coach. He is the person who really mentored him in pro wrestling in AEW and in Philadelphia, training him. And then to have, you know, Wheeler Yuta turn his back on Orange and the best friends, join the Blackpool Combat Club, completely disregard so much of what Orange Cassidy taught him. And then just when you didn't think we'd ever see Wheeler Yuta using the things that Orange Cassidy taught him ever again, there he was a couple weeks ago in that crazy parking lot fight, popping out of the trunk of a car, which is definitely something Orange Cassidy taught him. So, I believe Wheeler Yuta has learned from the best mentors, whether it was Orange and the Best Friends or Brian Danielson, John Moxley, and Claudio Castagnoli, quite possibly the three greatest pro wrestlers on the planet. They've taught Wheeler Yuta so much about how to be dangerous, about how to win championships. And definitely, I think that's going to be a great championship fight, Orange versus Utah, on Wednesday night in Nashville.
Talking to Tony Khan, All Elite Wrestling, Wednesday night in Nashville, as we mentioned. And Tony, before we let you go, you're on in Nashville. I mean, obviously, you know there's a rivalry here between the Tennessee Titans and your Jags. How are you feeling about this season? Trevor Lawrence, to me, looks like the real deal, and I'm looking forward to the matchups between the Titans and Jags.
Absolutely. It was a really important milestone for the Jaguars to pull off a win in Nashville last year. We hadn't won a game in Nashville in a long time, and obviously last year was a really strong year for the Jags. And it's been a great rivalry. Tennessee's had, frankly, over the years, especially the games there in Nashville, Tennessee's had a good run of it over the years. And Tennessee Titans are a great franchise. Mike Vrabel's a great coach. And there are a lot of great players there in Tennessee. So I'm sure when we come there to Nashville with the Jaguars, it's going to be a tough game like it is every year. Right now, a lot of exciting things happening here in Jacksonville. Doug Peterson and Trent Baalke have done such a great job rebuilding this roster. I really enjoy working with both of them closely. I have so much respect for Doug and Trent, both individually and together. And we got a great team led by Trevor Lawrence, who is one of the most talented quarterbacks on the planet, also one of the best people you're ever going to meet. You could not pick a better leader. You could never identify a better leader for a football team than Trevor. Right now, he's doing amazing things, and definitely very optimistic about this season for the Jags.
Well, it's going to be fun between the Titans and Jags in the AFC South. It's going to be so much fun Wednesday night for Dynamite live on TBS and Rampage as well. Tony, appreciate the time so much today. Looking forward to the show on Wednesday.
I cannot wait for this show on Wednesday night. Thank you so much for giving me a chance to talk about it today. And hopefully I'll see you there at Bridgestone Arena Wednesday night.
And that is Tony Khan, owner of AEW, also, of course, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Really appreciate him for joining us here on the show. I was able to record that earlier in the week, and it is going to be a fantastic show tonight at Bridgestone Arena, AEW Dynamite and Rampage. And, hey, coming up at 10:30 today, Double J, Jeff Jarrett, Nashville's own, is going to join the show to talk more about the show and, of course, him being a Nashville guy, his legacy in wrestling at Bridgestone Arena. We'll have more coming next. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Ali Mukhtar has factored into 6 of the 13 goals they've scored as a team. He's got a chance here. Lays this off. Sarich! Go! Sam Sarich! To give Nashville the lead in the second half. It's Mukhtar, the playmaker.
That's how it sounded last night on Apple TV. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Nashville SC, what a win for them as they advance to the finals of the League's Cup, which will be held at Geodis Park, and they will take on Miami and some guy named Lionel Messi. But 2-0, the win last night. I watched the whole game. It was fun. It was, a free game. So I watched it on Apple TV. Nick, you were there. So what was the atmosphere like?
Unfortunately,
you were not there.
I was not there. Okay. No. I will be there Saturday.
You broke Kaharsky's rule. You were tweeting like you were there. Made me think you were there.
I did get access to the Zoom for the press. So
that's good.
Halfway, if you could say halfway, I guess. But no, what an event that was last night.
Well, I want to know somebody that was there. If you were at the game last night, 615-737-1025. I want somebody to call in. I want to hear about the atmosphere last night at Geodis Park with that 2-0 win. I will say this. The goal that got disallowed. Now, if somebody wants to tell me something I'm not seeing, then go right ahead. I didn't see offsides.
So it wasn't for offsides. It was more for...
But isn't that what they said?
Yeah, he was... So Alex Moore was in an offside position.
Okay.
But he was also in an obstruction area. So, like, he was in front of the ball when it was curling past the goalkeeper. And so the initial thought from VAR was that he was obstructing the goalkeeper's view on the ball. But if you look at the replay, the goalie was already diving towards where the ball was going in the back of the net. So that's where I draw the line. That was a terrible call.
Oh, I thought it was. I mean, you know, I was like, I'm going to be careful. Screw it. I saw the FIFA patch on the ref. I'm like, there you go. That's all I need to know. This is what this is. There we go. Things are not on the up and up. But Nashville SC ends up battling back and winning. I will say later in the game when they went back to VAR for a potential penalty and the announcers on Apple TV were thinking that there was going to be a penalty there and they didn't call it, I was like, that might have been a little bit of a Mary Kay call. A little makeup, you know, maybe. All right, so now it's a wash that we'll get one, you know, questionable on both sides. But it was a fun one to watch. And now the biggest star in soccer, in football, is coming to our city to play in Geodis Park as Lionel Messi, who has scored in every game that he's played with Inter Miami, to play for the League's Cup Championship on Saturday. Now, the other part, and explain this a little bit, Nick, is Nashville SC has now qualified for CONCACAF, correct?
Yes, the CONCACAF Champions Cup. It's been renamed. It was the CONCACAF Champions League. It's the American version of the European Champions League.
Gotcha.
So they've renamed it to the Champions Cup.
So that just means they can compete for that next year?
Correct, yes. So if they end up losing to Inter Miami Saturday, they are in the group stage. They have the automatic qualification. But if they win, they have the automatic bid into the round of 16. So which, from my knowledge, what I know, they wouldn't have to play in the group stage.
Oh, cool. Well, that's already a pretty big accomplishment for Gary Smith and his staff. So somebody, Ricky and I were texting about this. Is this the biggest star to ever play sports in Nashville? Tom Brady obviously played a few times with the Patriots against the Titans. Wayne Gretzky played one game against the Predators. I believe it was in 1999, his final season when he was with the Rangers. He played at then Nashville Arena. Did Jordan play a baseball game here? I think he did. I think Michael Jordan did play a baseball game at Greer Stadium. I need to go look that up, but I think that's right. If you know, let me know. 615-737-1025. So, I mean, I would say this is definitely up there. You know, of Lionel Messi, and you know, you think about stars. I mean, globally, Lionel Messi is probably the biggest, you know, to ever play.
Hands down.
I mean, would you say that Lionel Messi has more of a global reach than Tom Brady?
Absolutely. I think Lionel Messi is reaching people that don't even have internet. Like, that's how big of his reach is. So, you know, this is a monumental point for the city of Nashville itself. Not just for the club, but also for the city.
Yeah, I mean, I would have probably said that Jordan at one time would have been bigger, but I mean, in that era there wasn't social media and, you know, things like that. So I mean, it's certainly an interesting moment, a cool moment in Nashville sports history. And let's see, those tickets, when do those tickets go on sale? Are they on sale yet?
10 a.m. for season ticket holders. So
okay,
that's in
so about six minutes.
And
nice.
Then 1 p.m. to the public.
Okay.
And one of my buddies, or a few of my buddies that are season ticket holders, they've already showed me some resale prices that are just astronomically massive. $600 for a general admission ticket, and that's just general admission. So I could only imagine what the regular seats are going to be. This is just incredible. I've never seen ticket prices like this.
Yeah. I mean, I look, it's going to be a tough ticket. I mean, people are hitting me up asking if I have tickets. I'm like, I don't. I wish, but I don't. But it's certainly going to be cool and already an awesome accomplishment. I mean, like, obviously it's a big story that Lionel Messi is going to be here, and that's what people are going to talk about. But Nashville SC deserves the credit, too, because they got there, and they got to the final. This team needed a spark. And by the way, they did it without Joe Willis. You know who's hurt, right?
He attended to family issues, is what they said to the media.
Okay.
Elliot Panico, he kind of stepped in incredibly. Like I mean, there was that Matt Pickens little mind games where he came in for the penalty kicks the last couple of rounds, but he had a clean sheet last game against Minnesota, and now last night had another clean sheet, and it was pretty impressive against a team like Monterey, who's second in the League MX standings.
Yeah. So that was awesome. Very, very cool. Congratulations to Nashville SC on that win and being in League's Cup. And we will talk more about that as we get closer to this weekend when Lionel Messi comes to Nashville in Geodis Park to play Nashville SC. But coming up next, we get back into the Titans and this quarterback battle going on right now. So many mixed reviews. Very interesting. We'll discuss that next. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.